Decades ago, the United States Football League, or USFL, was started as a springtime alternative to the NFL, and it was semi-successful initially, attracting some of the more talented college football prospects, names like Herschel Walker and future Super Bowl champion quarterback Steve Young. But then the ambitions of some of its owners got a little bit too great, causing the league to go under, long before any hopes of merging with the NFL could come to fruition. One of those owners was Donald Trump. With me to talk about that is Jeff Perlman, author of the new book, Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. Jeff, let's start with President Trump. How many of Donald Trump's problems with the NFL currently have to do with the USFL days and the NFL rejecting his hopes of owning a team back in the 80s and 90s?
I would say it this way. 1980, he tried buying the Baltimore Colts and failed. 1983, he has a secret meeting with Pete Rozelle. Says he wants to get in the NFL. Rozelle says, no, never. Rozelle literally told him, you will never have a team in this league. He then tries suing the NFL, thinking it will result in a merger. It does not. He tries buying the Buffalo Bills and fails. He tries buying the New England Patriots and fails. He tries buying the Dallas Cowboys and fails.
Jeff, let's talk about the title of your book. It's Football for a Buck, and that revolves around a lawsuit that was brought by the USFL against the NFL. And the USFL technically won, but the league won a dollar, which was definitely not enough to keep it going and keep it trying to be in competition with the NFL. In a Cliff's Notes version, can you tell us how the USFL got started and then how it ended up in a courtroom against the NFL?
So basically what happened is the USFL came along. It was a spring league. It was a good idea. Donald Trump comes along, convinces the owners they need to move to fall, that there's better TV revenue to be had in fall, that fall is when football should be played. Enough of the owners go along with this because they need Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the owner of the New York, New Jersey franchise. It's the most powerful franchise in the league. They need him. He tells them the best thing we can do is sue the NFL for violating antitrust laws. Specifically, they said that they could not move to fall because the NFL had a monopoly on television, fall television. Trump told them what we should do is sue the NFL. And he hired Roy Cohn. He's famous for his dealings with Joseph McCarthy. He tells the other owners, I'm going to hire Roy Cohn. And the NFL is going to want to settle immediately because they're not going to want to deal with this guy. He hires Roy Cohn. The NFL does not settle immediately. The lawsuit takes place in a district court in Manhattan. And the USFL accuses the NFL of colluding, number one, to ruin the USFL, and number two, monopolizing TV. Both of those things are actually true. And the jury finds those things to be true, hence why the USFL actually won the case. The USFL won the lawsuit. What the jury also decided is that the people the most to blame for the USFL's demise was actually the USFL, and specifically Donald Trump. Donald Trump was the star witness of the USFL during the trial, and he really turned into the star witness of the NFL during the trial. He came off as bombastic and rude and arrogant. The NFL was supposed to be Goliath, and the USFL was supposed to be David. And what really happened is the NFL's attorney very wisely pegged Donald Trump early as a guy they should sort of pitch their case to. And Donald Trump, one of the jurors I interviewed said to me, Donald Trump was the worst witness I've ever seen anywhere. He just made the USFL seem like a bunch of greedy jerks.
The players just generally are some of the greatest we've seen. So like Steve Young, Jim Kelly, Herschel Walker, just some of the names that come to mind. Is this something that with that kind of talent could have challenged the NFL as long as they didn't try to go head-to-head? If it had stayed a spring football league, would there have been some success and potentially would the NFL have been pretty amenable to a merger of some sort?
So it's a super complicated question because the original idea of the USFL was not to spend a ton of money. And all those guys you mentioned made a lot of money. Almost 200 guys went from the USFL to the NFL when the league died. So it was filled with talent. But they were spending wildly. If they'd stayed in the spring, they focused a little slower on the growth, stayed within their means, I think ultimately you would have had a merger because I think you would have had, they had a team in Jacksonville, which proved to be a great market. They had a team in Tennessee and Memphis, which was a great market. They just were impatient. And the crazy thing is the NFL had a strike in 1987, a lengthy strike where they used replacement players. And a lot of the people I talked to from the USFL look back and think, if only we'd held out till 1987, if only we were around. Think about the influx of players and think about sort of the just weirdness of football at that time. That if there ever a moment where the NFL would be like, you know, to make our lives easier, let's absorb four or five teams, that would have been the moment.
And Jeff, let me ask you one final question because I want to bring it home to Arizona a little bit because we had the Arizona Wranglers, Arizona Outlaws, and it had, I don't know if it can be labeled the weirdest trade in sports history, but pretty close where basically a team was traded for another team. So the Arizona Wranglers were basically traded for the Chicago Blitz, right?
It's the greatest, weirdest trade of all time and the biggest. Yeah, the Chicago Blitz were owned by Dr. Ted Dietrich, who passed last year, and he was based in Phoenix, but he owned the team in Chicago. And he got tired of making the three-hour flight nine times a year for home games at Chicago. So the league decided, well, we can fix that. We'll just swap the teams. So the Arizona Wranglers, who were terrible, became the Chicago Blitz. And the Chicago Blitz, who were coached by George Allen, were really good, became the Arizona Wranglers. And the funniest thing is, Marv Levy, the legendary future Buffalo Bills coach, was hired to coach the Chicago Blitz for the 1984 season, only nobody told him that the teams were traded for each other. So he shows up to coach the Chicago Blitz thinking he has a team that's really good. Instead, he just looks around and it's just all crap. And it was so bad in Chicago, the guy they got to coach to own the Blitz was a doctor named James Hoffman. And about four games into the season, he was walking off the field with a player on the Blitz named Dan Jiggetts. And he said to Jiggetts, "Yeah, I'm out of here." And Jiggetts said, "Oh, where are you going?" And he's like, no, I'm out. I don't want to own this team anymore. I'm done. And he dumped the team.
That's Jeff Perlman, and that is just one of the great stories in his new book, Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. Jeff, thanks for the time today.